it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5-106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. TD, Teron Davenport, hanging out with me. So TD, there has been one name, and it's almost like with mock drafts. Sometimes you have your unanimous number one. Like, you know, the 2021 draft, everybody had Trevor Lawrence going number one. That was not overly disputed. And then once you get later in the draft, it's okay, maybe this team could go this position or maybe this guy in this position group. Once you get to, like, the middle to the late end of the first round, you start to see some discrepancies. Like, this team's going with a corner, but this guy has this team going with a wide receiver, so on and so forth. But this year, I'm looking through all the mock drafts that I could find. And it seems like there is not a single NFL mock draft that doesn't have the Titans taking Paris Johnson with the 11th overall pick. I look at McShay's NFL mock draft on that came out today. Paris Johnson, he said it just makes sense. Dane Brugler came out with a mock draft today. He said Paris Johnson, Johnson fits the profile of what the Titans covet at that position. Josh Schrock, which... no disrespect, I don't think I've ever heard of Josh Schrock at NBC Sports, but I'm sure he's wonderful. I looked at his mock draft. Paris Johnson, Daniel Jeremiah of CBS Sports. Now, this was before the Combine, so I wanted to see if maybe before the Combine there was any other kind of shakeup. Nope, Paris Johnson has him mocked to the Titans. Nearly every single mock draft I've seen has the Titans taking Paris Johnson. I have a bunch of questions like that. First and foremost, what do you make of Paris Johnson?
Athletic. Super athletic. Size is crazy. What, 6'6", I think 310 pounds. Talk to him at the combine. And I just think about it because it's just funny to me thinking about a big kid like that doing gymnastics.
Right? He does gymnastics?
He was in gymnastics when he was younger. Played soccer, wrestling. So it's like all of the aspects that go into development, and this is why I always tell kids, hey, play more than one sport. Like, we're in this era where you specialize in one sport, and in certain sports, you specialize in one thing. I say play more sports because it contributes more and more and more, right? So to get back to Paris Johnson, you got the soccer, the footwork, the endurance. You got the gymnastics, the agility. You got the wrestling, the understanding body leverage and those things. Oh, and by the way, he played multiple positions in football. He was once a quarterback, a tight end, a wide receiver.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're getting a good collection of attributes. And then it doesn't hurt that he's a very intellectual person. He spoke about – like I love when guys have purpose, right? And he spoke about what he wants to do when he has the resources that he does. He spoke about making sure that especially bigger kids who are less fortunate have access to equipment. You know, a size 16 cleats being available for somebody. New shoulder pads. He was like, man, a lot of times you can't get those big cleats or the right shoulder pads that played against sports. I want to provide that, you know, and that's something, you know, from growing up with his mother, it wasn't always the best situation for him. So he's taking it and turning it into something positive, right? This Titans started from Miss Amy Adams Strunk. This team is so well invested in the community. So from a – like, he's someone I could see on their board. He probably has that gold star next to him because it's a really good player. I want to see – I wonder if he was a team captain. He probably was. So that probably goes – but also just all around, like, there's no – I don't know. It's a safe pick in my opinion. So I definitely could see them liking him. You saw him at the combine, just how he moved. Now, sometimes his base could – at least in watching that, sometimes his base could be a little close. Whereas, and that's another beauty of getting to watch him and then Broderick Jones, one after another. And then they're walking together too, so you can size them up together. But you can see, like, the difference. Broderick Jones has a better base. It's wider. So, but we're talking about shorts and T-shirts. You know, both of those guys are adequate. Broderick Jones, so I love how he takes it personal at the second level, killing these linebackers and getting DBs. I mean, we could talk about him too, but I think Paris Johnson is an ideal fit.
And Dame Brugler writes in The Athletic, and I did a full breakdown a couple years ago of ranking.
The accuracy.
Yes, yeah. The accuracy of the mock drafts. Brugler, yep. McShay, Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, all mm-hmm. of the NFL draft gurus. And Dane Brugler was far and above the best and most accurate mock drafter. So yeah. I always look at Dane Brugler, and to your point, a little gold star next to him. He yeah. says he fits the profile, Paris Johnson, fits the profile of what the Titans covet at that position. What does that mean to you? Because I know Mike Vrabel says he wants to be quicker at every position. Not necessarily just meaning speed, but just reflexes are fast. You know, mm-hmm. a fast mm-hmm. reaction time. And it seems like the background that Paris Johnson has of being a wrestler, you have to know what they're doing before they even know that they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he means? Or what do you think exactly the Titans covet at that position and how Paris Johnson fits that?
Yeah, I don't know how well connected he is to the Titans, but I definitely feel he's at least speaking from a physical standpoint of what they want. You look at, you know, being able to attack in the running game, being athletic, because the zone scheme that they do a lot of, it's you're more like you have to get to a space and block that space. Like you're on the move a little bit more as opposed to, you know, a DeJuan Jones, 6'8", 374 pounds, saying, hey, you're in front of me. You have to move from in front of me because I got somebody trying to come through. You know what I mean? So there's different styles, and I think from that style. But I do think Jones fits the Titans, but that's, you know, again, another conversation. But I feel that's what he's talking about. But in my opinion, just, you know, knowing what they value from an under-the-helmet standpoint, he matches there too.
Well, let's talk about Broderick Jones, another guy that you like. Yeah. What's so special about him?
Well, I like killers at offensive line. You know what I mean? And he is a killer. He's someone that is he's athletic. He's at his best when you're pulling him. So you could pull him and have him, you know, go on the move. And he does a really good job of just breaking down and not getting juked by the linebacker or the DBs. Like, if you get him on the move, he's going to like screens and, you know, those type of things. He's going to really dominate there. But he's also athletic and agile enough to handle these blitzers coming off the edge. Not only blitzers, but even these freaks, you know, Joey Bosa's, Nick Bosa's, those types. He can handle those guys, but then he's also strong enough to handle and you know, brace himself to handle power. I think he's a complete offensive lineman. He's very young. I love the fact that, you know, he went through so many big games at Georgia. So the moment, quote unquote, is never going to be too big for him. And he just, you know, got into Georgia and he just progressed. And I think that's important. You look, he got dropped into, you know, that one, was it the championship game? He got dropped into that game and he held his own. So I have him neck and neck with Paris Johnson Jr. Like, it's one of those things, okay, you want a Benzo or a Beamer. You know what I mean? Both of them are really good.
Do you think that those are the top two? Like, where would yeah. you put maybe Peter Skoronski in that tier?
Skoronski, I would say, is right after them. I'm not huge on measurables, but if I have prospects like on the same level, I'm going to go with a guy who does check that box and doesn't not check others. You know what I mean? The thing with Broderick Jones that makes me gravitate, and even you know, Paris Johnson Jr. to an extent, because, you know, Ohio State's playing in big games, you know, against SEC opponents. Mm-hmm. So he's seen those guys a little bit more than Northwestern.
He's seen that Georgia D-line.
Yeah, yeah. Broderick Jones saw it every day. You know what I mean? So that's something that like, makes me shield a little more towards Jones over Skoronski. Obviously, the arms thing is something that people are talking about. I asked him about that, and he said teams haven't said anything about that. And he mentioned how he's able to find other ways to win. I think watching Rashawn Slater last year with the Chargers do what he did despite the short arms, it tells you it's possible. So Skoronski is a guy, yeah, absolutely, I would, you know, put right there. But I think Jones and Johnson are just their better prospects, are more agile, and they fit like the prototype that you want.
And it's interesting, too, because looking through all of these mock drafts, and I know it's early, there are so many more to come, and they're not always going to be accurate. In yeah. almost every single one I've seen Peter Skoronski go in the top eight,
yeah,
which has been interesting.
Yeah, it's so, and one of the things with mock drafts that I always am cautious about, so like my guy Emory Hunt for Football Game Plan, mm-hmm. his mocks are probably not going to be as accurate because the mocks that he does are what he would do.
Right.
Right? So there's different mocks. Okay, what I would do.
What I think they're going to do.
And also what I think they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I think the mocks that have Skoronski over Jones and Johnson, I think they're mocks on what that person would do. I wouldn't do it, and I don't think teams are going to do it.
And based on, like, the need that the Titans have at the offensive line, mm-hmm. I view that a priority 1A. If you want to put quarterback in there, fine, fair. But just looking at this offensive line and how desperately the Titans need to boost it up.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier Titans possibly trading back in this year's draft. Pick up a first next year. Maybe go out and get your Caleb Williams next year. Collect a bunch of draft picks. Mm-hmm. I think that's not a approach that I have heard yet, and it's one that I'm not opposed to at all. I totally see that path. But can the Titans afford to pass up on one of these guys, on a Paris Johnson, on a Broderick Jones, considering how deep the need for linemen truly is?
I think there's some things that have to happen, right? So one of the things that we know, a lot of teams entering the draft, like, they'll have contingency plans, right? Look, I got these two guys. And it usually, so for the Titans, that would probably come into fruition right around, like, pick 8 or 9. Okay, here we go. The trade's on if these two guys are gone. I'm not going to tell you who those two guys are, but I got two guys in mind. If they're gone, dial it up. We have a trade. You know, I think that's a way a lot of things happen. I think they could afford to do it, though. And you look, these guys, so, all right, so, you know, we sat here and we raved about Paris Johnson Jr. Uh-huh. We raved about Broderick Jones. We dug into Peter Skoronski. These aren't necessarily guys that you'll never get a chance to pick again.
Fair.
You know what I mean? And when you look at a guy like a Bergeron, when you look at, you know, a guy like a Darnell Wright, who Will Anderson from Alabama said, hey, look, hands down, toughest guy I face, Darnell Wright. Probably not going to be a top 11 pick, but let's say you move back to 28 or something like that. You're dropping 17 picks. It's going to warrant a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
You could grab him. So, I mean, there's you could go deep into it. I mean, there's guys that you could go back and get. I mean, it, you know, just looking on it, Anton Harrison from Oklahoma is another one. That so you can move back and still be okay.
I mean, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you're missing out on 11.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Receivers, what TD saw from the combine, I think that this is such a fascinating receiver draft. Because mm-hmm. I look back at some of the drafts in recent history, and there's always been that guy or those guys that are going to be your first-round picks. You know, your Jamar Chases, your Henry Ruggs, so on and so forth. It doesn't seem like there's that guy in this year's draft. But where could the Titans pick up a potential receiver of the future? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. TD, I want to get into the receivers. I feel like every year there's a group of receivers
yep.
that are going to go in the first round. And they're going to go probably top 15, 16, 17, 18. And those are the guys that you're like, oh, you pair them with that quarterback and it's going to be lethal.
Yeah.
I don't see that as much this year. I don't know if it's all of the quarterbacks in this year's draft and all of the quarterback needy teams that all of the quarterback talk is just, you know, taking the front seat. I don't know if this really is just not a strong receiver draft, but there's none of those guys that you're like, oh, that's going to be the dude. Like, whoever gets that guy, whoever has to face that guy, it's going to be a tough day for them. So your interpretation of the receiver class and what you saw at the combine, who stood out to you?
Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba, you look at some of these numbers. I asked him about where he is with the hamstring, right? And he told me that he was 100% as of 2 weeks ago. But he said he wasn't running the 40. So I'm like, man, why you ain't running the 40?
Right.
But he said, and it makes sense. It makes sense. Think about what all of these guys do in the training leading up to the combine and through their pro days. They're training specifically for that 40, the three cone, et cetera, et cetera. He was not 100%, so he didn't really train as much for the 40. Like, he did what he could with what he was able to do. He got to 100%. Okay, I'm going to run that 40 because that's one that gets viewed so much.
Especially for receivers.
Especially for receivers. And I don't think he's going to run like a low anything lower than a 4.4, high 4.4s. I think he's probably going to be in the 4.5s, to be honest with you, low 4.5s. But he knew his change of direction and agility. And you watch it on film, his route running and stuff. Three cones, 6.57 seconds. 20, the short shuttle, 3.93. Those are stupid numbers. Broad jump, 10.5. There's explosiveness, change of direction. And then watching him catch the football and go through those field drills, he was really outstanding to me. And I feel like he needed to do this because this reminded us of what he did in that bowl game where he was setting records, you know. And mind you, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, two really good receivers, one of which was the rookie of the year offensively, both said, oh, no, he's the best of the three of us. So, yeah, Jordan Reed from ESPN, he said that Smith and Jigba's workout was the best he's seen since Justin Jefferson. And interestingly enough, they have very similar features. The questions about both of them, because I remember, you know, following a lot of Philly stuff, one of the things that they didn't like about Jefferson is they thought he was just a slot receiver.
Cool.
You see him on the outside eating any DB alive. I don't know. I'm not saying Smith and Jigba will have that same impact, but, you know, the correlation is there.
And yeah, to your point, I honestly, this is probably more on me than anything. I forgot Jackson Smith and Jigba was in this draft class.
It's easy to.
Yes. And then, you know, anybody else that you think that the Titans could potentially get, because I, way that I view it, and correct me if you view it differently, if the Titans do stay at 11, I don't see the Titans taking a receiver. Even if there's a Jordan Addison or a Quentin Johnson or a Jackson Smith and Jigba. And I also don't see any of those receivers falling to the second round where the Titans could pick them up in the second round.
Yeah,
I view all of those three probably high 20s, late teens, you know, maybe falling to the 30s, but I doubt it. So it's like the Titans are in a weird spot where it's too high to take a receiver like a Quentin Johnson or Jordan Addison or Jackson Smith and Jigba that's coming off of an injury. But they're also picking too low in the second round. So who do you think is kind of in that sweet spot for the Titans to take after 11 in that second round, if they do stick with 11?
Yeah, I really like Tyler Scott. He's from Cincinnati. He's a speed guy. He's one that you'll see him catch the slant and find that crease and go also. But he's the guy averaged, I think it was like 43 yards on each touchdown and he scored. Didn't run as well as I thought he would. He was a 4.5. I was expecting him to be, you know, like 4.39, 4.40, like that type of speed. But neither did Jalen Hyatt. He was, you know, 4.41. So I don't know. It might have been the track. Who knows? I don't have a clue. But I think he's someone that could be there at 41 that would be a good option for him. You look at guys that help themselves. A.T. Perry, a 6'3", 200-plus pounds, you know, he ran in the 4.4 range. No one expected that, right? The guy I think that helped himself the most out of this second tier that no one is really talking about is Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He ran in 4.49, 23 reps on the bench. That was the big thing was, okay, is he going to run fast, right? Because he had the injury. He came back from that. And, I mean, there were times in watching him on film, like, oh, he's a little slow. But there are other times where you see him close on the ball and you know, catch the ball well. Mingo is actually slated to be here this week, from what I understand. Buck Rising had asked him about that, and he said that. I like him as a player. I think he fits what they want to do, you know, just more in that intermediate game. But you want that vertical guy, Tyler Scott's the one. I mean, Josh Downs will probably be there at 41. You know, he's another guy that, you know, he'll work that intermediate part of it. He could do things.
And even the local guys, Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, I think Hyatt will be gone just because.
Do you think he'll be gone before Tillman?
Yeah.
Really?
Because that speed value. I mean, you turn on a tape and this dude is running
by. He's so quick.
Everybody. Like, that's DeSean Jackson. That's Will Fuller. You know what I mean? He's running by. Tillman, though, the thing I like about him is that size and the red zone ability. Like, he's someone, you know, you put him in that slot or you have a closed split, have him lined up out wide. It's one-on-one. Tap the top of the helmet or do the little hand signal behind your back, something to throw that fade or that back shoulder. So those are guys. I know, so you look at Jordan Addison. Mm-hmm. He's going to be gone, but he told me that he had a former with the Titans. So that's someone to keep on the radar. Zay Flowers had a former with almost everybody. Everybody's attracted, and he's a dog. You know, that's one of those guys that will get vertical for you, but also you can run him on jet sweeps. You know, you can run him intermediate stuff, those, you know, hammer routes, the quick, smoke, mm-hmm. those type of things. But there's a lot of guys. I mean, we talk about Kayshawn Boutte, right? And he's someone mm-hmm. that, he didn't test well, but he plays. So it's just a matter of having that confidence that you could tap into him and get that potential to come out. I mean, this draft is pretty deep. You even look at – so C.J. Johnson from East Carolina is a guy who was it? James Foster from No Flags Film made a good comparison, and I didn't even think of that as I was watching him, but he actually compared him to A.J. Brown. They mm-hmm. look very similar on tape, so that's one. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Princeton,
it's so deep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Princeton has a guy, Andre Yashevis, who he was a heptathlete.
Oh.
And he ran the fastest 60-yard dash in the heptathlete. He ran the fastest one, and this dude was out there tracking the ball really well on those deep throws. His 40, I think it was like 4.48. He had a good his three cone, if I'm not mistaken, was second to Jackson Smith and Jigba, but there was a huge separation. So he's another one, 6'3", 200 pounds. That he was impressive at the Senior Bowl. There's a whole lot of receivers, man. You got Rashee Rice, who I know the Titans spoke to. They loved his blocking aspect, the SMU receiver. I know they spoke to him. They liked how he blocked, but they also liked the big play ability that he brings. A little inconsistency with drops, but, you know, he's someone else that you could get. And I'm not talking about day two. I'm talking about, like, day three. It's deep. Like, you can just look through to Michael Wilson from Stanford, you know, a speed guy, has some injury stuff. But he's someone that was running by everybody down there at the Senior Bowl as well.
And that's why I view this draft as being so deep with quality receivers that could step in and be NFL contributors right away.
Mm-hmm.
That it's almost like if you can get one of a Quentin Johnson or Jordan Addison, you would. But I view all of the needs of the Titans and taking a Jordan Addison or a Quentin Johnson, no disrespect to them, at 11, when you can find a really solid guy in the second round, it almost seems like that's not even worth your while to take a guy that high.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, I just mentioned like 8 to 10 names. I didn't even mention a couple of my favorites, right? And Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State.
Okay.
Consistent catcher, really good at varying tempo in his routes. I told him he reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen, just mm-hmm. as far as like a guy who's going to be a high-volume pass catcher but is always going to get open. You know. And then you got Jerae Jenkins. We were talking about him during the break.
I love Jerae.
I mean, that's one of those guys where you look at him on the measurable side of things, right? He 4'6", 40, 20 reps on the bench. But you look at him, you're not going to be like, man, that dude's a baller. But then you watch him play. He's just a pure football player, tough, going to make catches in traffic, going to be where he needs to be. To give you an idea of his style of game, as I said, you know, before we got back, Jarvis Landry. He's very much like a Jarvis Landry type where it's like, how the heck does he always get open? He's not fast. He's not quick. But he just gets open.
Yeah.
And he's tough.
He is tough. And he's not going to be one of those sexy names that you see and you're like, oh, my gosh, Jerae Jenkins. You know, we got to double up that guy. But he is one guy that wherever you need him to play, he'll play. Whatever you need him to do, he'll do. He was always a consistent leader in the locker room.
Yep.
But, you know, there are so many good guys in this draft. There's so much talent in this draft. But what do the Titans need? You got Treylon Burks, your A.J. Brown-esque kind of guy, your big guy that can just bully up on defenders, not necessarily a burner, but that kind of bully kind of wide receiver. What do the Titans need to complement Treylon Burks? Like, is it a burner kind of guy? Do
they
the
need
Titans
both
a burner and a big guy, a big man?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a big man. So put it this way.
Yeah.
If they came out of this draft with Tyler Scott and Xavier Hutchinson, If I'm Rob Moore, like, I'm going to Broadway and I'm partying. You know what I mean? Because you got your vertical guy, and then you got your other guys just a consistent pass catcher. I think that's what they need. They need someone that could be a high-quality number two that will consistently get open, catch the ball, get you some yak if need be. But, I mean, essentially do what Corey Davis did to compliment AJ. That's really what you need. And along with that, if you could get that guy that's a vertical threat also, I mean, if you could get buy one, get one free, that would be really good. But I don't think there's really too many guys in there that will fill both roles, you know. So Quentin Johnston is interesting, right, but he's actually 6'2", not 6'4". You know, and then we're just talking about 2 inches, but then you also –
That's a difference, though.
Yeah, it is. But then you also –
It's a game of inches.
You look at the play, the play consistent day in and day out. Like play to play, so to speak, you compare him to a guy that's five. I'm calling 5'10", 5'10", in Zay Flowers, right? So Flowers is 5'10", Johnston is 6'2", but if you watch these guys on film, the way they attack the ball and high point it, like catch it at its highest point, like you'll see Johnston jumping for a lot of balls, but it's down to his shoulders where he's catching it. So you're discounting all that size. Whereas you'll see Flowers jumping for footballs, but catching it, arms extended and snapping it out of the air, it almost balances out. Mm-hmm. So that's something to kind of consider, you know, when you're watching these guys play. Like, watch all the way through and see where they're catching the ball, how they're catching it, because those things matter as far as, like, you know, looking – beyond their measurables, you know, how are they attacking the football?
It's kind of, I view Roger McCreary. Remember when he went through the draft, it was always, he's got short arms, he's got mm-hmm. short arms. Mm-hmm. But every time I watch Roger McCreary play, he plays bigger than his size.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And sure, yes, in terms of measurables, you could view it on paper as a disadvantage, but it seems like Roger McCreary is always wherever the ball is.
Yeah.
Short arms and all.
And the thing, like, with that for him is his feistiness, you know, makes up for that. I told a few corners this, but he was one of them in India. We were talking on the side, and I was like, man, if me and you were on the same team, man, I'll fight you every practice. Because he has that, and it's not purposeful. It's just one of those things where he does stuff that will annoy you. And case in point, to tie it to what you're saying, you catch the football, you bring it down. He's going to be punching and punching and punching it all the way up, and he's going to fight for that. So, yeah, you're right.
What goes up must come down.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks. This is such an intriguing quarterback draft. What TD saw from the quarterback from the combine, rather, and, you know, what we're calling one of the most impressive quarterback combines in history, am I not giving him enough credit? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, it's Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Draft analyst Jordan Reed joining us now. So with all of this, Richardson's draft stock has just dramatically risen without any new college tape. So what has changed so far in the draft process, Jordan, when assessing Anthony Richardson at the end of the season to where we are right now?
Well, Kevin, the simple answer is nothing. Nothing has changed for Anthony Richardson as far as what we have seen on tape to this point. And the combine really confirmed what we already knew about him. He's a freak athlete at the position. But if you just look at his stats from afar, 53% completion percentage, it is not pretty. But the thing with Anthony is that he's such a freak athlete that's been compared to the likes of Josh Allen, Cam Newton, and even Dante Culpepper in a sense, in that he can make all the throws all over the field, but he's just not accurate right now. But he's a little bit different than some of his predecessors just because he's such a freak athlete, can make all the throws, but he needs to clean up his footwork, and you're going to have to rely on your coaching with him. That's where it comes into the equation with Anthony.
There you go. That was Jordan Reed on Anthony Richardson. And I feel like this happens every year, whether it's a quarterback or a receiver, whatever position group it might be. There's always going to be someone that has an unreal combine, and then it's all eyes on that name. That name shoots to the mm-hmm. to the top of those of the mock drafts. But Anthony Richardson's combine, his measurables, a 4.4 40 at 6'4", 244 pounds. I mean, Anthony Richardson is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
And to Jordan Reed's point in that clip right there, I think we all did know that. I mean, just look at him. Look at his ability to run. His arm is outstanding. Mm-hmm. He's huge. But I feel like I'm not giving Anthony Richardson enough credit, or maybe I'm just not buying into the same Anthony Richardson hype that maybe a lot of other people are, because I watched too many games at Florida where Anthony Richardson looked lost, where Anthony Richardson struggled to complete a pass, where, I mean, a pass rush came and it seemed like Anthony Richardson kind of buckled under the pressure. I think everyone's under consensus that Anthony Richardson, whoever drafts him, he's going to come in and he's going to have to learn and develop. He's not a day one starter. But what is your take on Anthony Richardson with the combine, watching him at Florida? What do you think he can become?
Yeah, I think he could become, Cam Newton-like, to be honest with you, because he has the ability to just really murder you with his feet, but he could throw the ball with so much distance with ease. And I think that's something you have to look at. It's really just a matter of getting that footwork right and getting it to where it's second nature. And he admitted to some of the things that he has to work on as far as, like, not relying as much on his athletic ability and throwing from different, what's the word, abnormal, stance, so to speak.
Like an uncomfortable position?
There was a throw where he scrambled to the right. And he kind of jumped and threw it. And that's the type of thing you probably shouldn't do that in the league. You could get away with it even on the SEC level, but you probably shouldn't do that in the league. He got the ball there, and it was a completion. But when you're in the heat of the moment, in the fire, are you going to revert back to those tendencies, or are you going to adapt the mechanics, the footwork stuff, that you're being taught to be more accurate? Because that's the only knock on him, is the accuracy. But when you look at that ability, he can move within the pocket. Like, there were sometimes, you're right, where he succumbed to it. But there are some plays where he moved within the pocket, and you're just like, he had no business finding a way to throw that football, let alone throw it 40 yards down the field on a post. You know, those,
like, how in the
things.
World yeah. did that turn into a completion?
Or even the one where he had the jump pump fake and the guy came off his feet and he spun and then rolled to the right. Those are just innate playmaking experiences that you see, and you want to just take that and stretch it over a longer period of time. Jordan Reed, before the combine, said that he's heard that maybe top five. I saw a few mocks that had the Colts trading up to one to get him.
I've heard rumors that there's first overall buzz for Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you have – I remember Jim Harbaugh, when Cam Newton was coming up, he ended up drafting Kaepernick that year. They weren't going to get the number one pick. But he said – Cam Newton had plutonium-level potential, and I think that's exactly what you have in Anthony Richardson. Anybody that, has worked with quarterbacks will want to work with him, because you get that right, you got something really, really special.
But they always have the sliver of, but what if you don't get it right?
Oh, yeah. There's always that part of it. What if you don't get
it
right?
And that exists for every draft pick.
Yeah.
But I see the size. I see the talent. I see the arm strength on Anthony Richardson. But why the inconsistency in college? I know Patrick Mahomes didn't win every game at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen didn't win every game at Wyoming. You know, your success in college isn't always indicative of how successful you're going to be in the NFL. But, like, even, like, I get whiplash looking at some of Anthony Richardson's stats in college. You know, he had maybe 180 yards passing against Utah in that first round. I'm not looking at his stats, but just kind of, like, rattling it off. And then he has a clunker against Kentucky. He rushes for, like, 4 yards coming off of a 100-plus rush-yard game against Utah. And then he has, like, a 450-passing-yard game against Tennessee. And then he struggles against South Florida. Like, what? I can't make sense of Anthony Richardson's inconsistencies. I see the high, but I also see the low.
Yeah, and that's something that you have to really vet out. Ask him, why the inconsistency? Mm-hmm. And we always look at Florida and we say, hey, they're the most talented team on the field. Not quite this year, right? So that's something else you have to look at.
New coach.
There really isn't any explanation for the inconsistencies, at least for me to give. That's something that he has to do a really good job of explaining. The thing is, they said he crushed the meetings. So apparently he's making people understand what the difference was. It's just, and you see him in person. Oh, it's like,
alien.
What the heck? Why are you? You're a quarterback? No way. No way. Stephen Holder did an excellent article on ESPN.com. He actually hung with Richardson for the week.
Cool.
And it gave you an inside look at it. Melvin Bratton is his agent. And, yeah, it's a dope post. And it actually starts out with a guy like, hey, what position do you play? You linebacker? And he's like, no, quarterback. And the guy's just like, no way. You know, it's pretty a cool, like, intro to the story.
Yeah, like Warren Sharp tweeted out, so Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 244. Von Miller is 6'3", 246.
Yeah.
You know, George Kittle, 6'4", 247. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247. So, I mean, he's up there with the pass rushers and the tight ends and the running backs, some of the biggest guys in the league. But I think Anthony Richardson is going to be such an interesting career to follow, interesting draft to follow, given that there is such a high upside, but maybe potentially a low floor. But he has, you know, like superhuman size and superhuman ability.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis. We'll get into that on the other side. What you saw from the combine, anything that you've heard about those three from the combine. And is the draft stock rising, falling, staying put? We'll get into all that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Draft analyst Jordan Reed joining us now. So with all of this, Richardson's draft stock has just dramatically risen without any new college tape. So what has changed so far in the draft process, Jordan, when assessing Anthony Richardson at the end of the season to where we are right now?
Well, Kevin, the simple answer is nothing. Nothing has changed for Anthony Richardson as far as what we have seen on tape to this point. And the combine really confirmed what we already knew about him. He's a freak athlete at the position. But if you just look at his stats from afar, 53% completion percentage, it is not pretty. But the thing with Anthony is that he's such a freak athlete that's been compared to the likes of Josh Allen, Cam Newton, and even Dante Culpepper in a sense, in that he can make all of the throws all over the field, but he's just not accurate right now. But he's a little bit different than some of his predecessors just because he's such a freak athlete, can make all the throws, but he needs to clean up his footwork, and you're going to have to rely on your coaching with him. That's where it comes into the equation with Anthony.
There you go. That was Jordan Reed on Anthony Richardson. And I feel like this happens every year, whether it's a quarterback or a receiver, whatever position group it might be, there's always going to be someone that has an unreal combine, and then it's all eyes on that name. That name shoots to the mm-hmm. to the top of those of the mock drafts. But Anthony Richardson's combine, his measurables, a 4.4 40 at 6'4", 244 pounds. I mean, Anthony Richardson is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
And to Jordan Reed's point in that clip right there, I think we all did know that. I mean, just look at him. Look at his ability to run. His arm is outstanding. Mm-hmm. He's huge. But I feel like I'm not giving Anthony Richardson enough credit, or maybe I'm just not buying into the same Anthony Richardson hype that maybe a lot of other people are, because I watched too many games at Florida where Anthony Richardson looked lost, where Anthony Richardson struggled to complete a pass, where, I mean, the pass rush came and it seemed like Anthony Richardson kind of buckled under the pressure. I think everyone's under consensus that Anthony Richardson, whoever drafts him, he's going to come in and he's going to have to learn and develop. He's not a day one starter. But what is your take on Anthony Richardson with the combine, watching him at Florida? What do you think he can become?
Yeah, I think he could become, Cam Newton-like, to be honest with you, because he has the ability to just really murder you with his feet, but he could throw the ball with so much distance with ease. And I think that's something you have to look at. It's really just a matter of getting that footwork right and getting it to where it's second nature. And he admitted to some of the things that he has to work on as far as like not relying as much on his athletic ability and throwing from different stance, so to speak.
Like an uncomfortable position?
There was a throw where he scrambled to the right, and he kind of jumped and threw it. And that's the type of thing you probably shouldn't do that in the league. You could get away with it even on the SEC level, but you probably shouldn't do that in the league. He got the ball there, and it was a completion. But when you're in the heat of the moment, in the fire, are you going to revert back to those tendencies, or are you going to adapt the mechanics, the footwork stuff that you're being taught to be more accurate? Because that's the only knock on him is the accuracy. But when you look at that ability, he can move within the pocket. Like, there were sometimes, you're right, where, you know, he succumbed to it. But there are some plays where he moved within the pocket, and you're just like, he had no business finding a way to throw that football, let alone throw it 40 yards down the field on a post. You know, those
like, how in the
things.
World yeah. did that turn into a completion?
Or even the one where he had the jump pump fake and the guy came off his feet and he spun and then rolled to the – those are just innate playmaking experiences that you see, and you want to just take that and stretch it over a longer period of time. I think – I mean, Jordan Reed – before the combine said that he's heard that maybe top five. I saw a few mocks that had the Colts trading up to one to get him.
I've heard rumors that there's first overall buzz for Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you have – I remember Jim Harbaugh when Cam Newton was coming up. He ended up drafting Kaepernick that year. They weren't going to get the number one pick. But he said Cam Newton had plutonium-level potential. And I think that's exactly what you have in Anthony Richardson. Anybody that, you know, has worked with quarterbacks will want to work with him, because you get that right, you got something really, really special.
But they always have the sliver of, but what if you don't get it right?
Oh, yeah. There's always that part of it. What if you don't get
it
right?
And that exists for every draft pick.
Yeah.
But yeah. I see the size. I see the talent. I see the arm strength on Anthony Richardson. But why the inconsistency in college? I know Patrick Mahomes didn't win every game at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen didn't win every game at Wyoming. You know, your success in college isn't always indicative of how successful you're going to be in the NFL. But, like, even, like, I get whiplash watching or looking at some of Anthony Richardson's stats in college. You know, he had maybe 180 yards passing against Utah in that first round. And I'm not looking at his stats, but just kind of, like, rattling it off. And then he has a clunker against Kentucky. He rushes for, like, 4 yards coming off of a 100-plus rush-yard game against Utah. And then he has, like, a 450 passing-yard game against Tennessee. And then he struggles against South Florida. Like, what? I can't make sense of Anthony Richardson's inconsistencies. I see the high, but I also see the low.
Yeah, and that's something that you have to really vet out. Ask him, why the inconsistency? Mm-hmm. And we always look at Florida and we say, hey, they're the most talented team on the field. Not quite this year, right? So that's something else you have to look at.
New coach.
There really isn't any explanation for the inconsistencies, at least for me to give. That's something that he has to do a really good job of explaining. The thing is, they said he crushed the meetings. So apparently he's making people understand what the difference was. It's just, and you see him in person. Oh, it's like,
alien.
What the heck? Why are you? You're a quarterback? No way. No way. Stephen Holder did an excellent article on ESPN.com. He actually hung with Richardson for the week.
Cool.
And it gave you an inside look at it. Melvin Bratton is his agent. And, it's a dope post. And it actually starts out with a guy like, hey, what position do you play? You linebacker? And he's like, no, quarterback. And the guy's just like, no way. You know, it's pretty a cool, like, intro to the story.
Yeah, like Warren Sharp tweeted out, so Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 244. Von Miller is 6'3", 246.
Yeah.
You know, George Kittle, 6'4", 247. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247. So, I mean, he's up there with the pass rushers and the tight ends and the running backs, some of the biggest guys in the league. But I think Anthony Richardson is going to be such an interesting career to follow, interesting draft to follow, given that there is such a high upside, but maybe potentially a low floor. But he has, you know, like superhuman size and superhuman ability. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis. We'll get into that on the other side. What you saw from the combine, anything that you've heard about those three from the combine. And is the draft stock rising, falling, staying put? We'll get into all that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.